I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen. No doubt.
Don't be saying, you should know this song. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Do you worship him? All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Have your way, Lord, today. Lord, it's your way.
Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes,
amen.
This is the Father's house.
Yes. Yes.
This is not the hog pen.
Right.
And we know the difference.
Yes, so, amen.
Glory to God.
Don't stink.
Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If you don't, if it's not in the house, you don't need it. And if it's not in the house, you don't want it. Praise
amen.
The Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day of your goodness
thank
to us.
You.
Thank you for healing our bodies.
Thank you, Lord.
The deliverance.
Thank you, Lord.
For prosperity in our lives, Lord. We thank you, God, for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you give us in Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. Anything happen this week?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
Same old, same old. Yeah. Well, for those who said there would be no election, I told you so. I told you there would be.
And what a wonder was.
There was.
They're still fighting on it, though.
And the church triumphant has a big turnout.
Those who said, you know, Barack Obama was going to kill us all, he didn't do it, and I told you so. Barack Obama was not the devil that a lot of folks made him out to be. And I told you so. All right, praise the Lord. We better get in the book of Acts here. We're not in Revelation.
And not politics.
Not politics, no.
Acts is kind of political and Revelation.
Well, see, it's the government of God.
Yeah, that's right, Sister Mary.
We're in a different government.
Praise the Lord, that's right.
That's what we got to learn.
The government of God. And the government of God took over.
Why didn't you do a teaching on the government of God?
Praise the Lord.
Long time ago, remember?
Yeah.
Do it again.
It's a lot that we like to see. I just thank God that the fivefold ministry is equipping the saints.
That's right.
Praise God.
The fivefold ministry, that's what it is for. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To bring us into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's what it's for, the fivefold ministry. That's right. Ooh. Amen. Praise God. All right, I think that we were, or I was anyway, on Acts chapter 16, verse 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks.
Even the pagans ripped their clothes off whenever they got upset about their religion.
Yeah, that's a paganistic.
Well, the Hebrews did too. They ripped their clothes.
When they got pagan, when they went pagan, they did. That's right. Whenever they went pagan, that's the first thing that came off. Clothes come off. That's going postal. Going pagan, going postal. Drunkenness, yeah.
That is
absolutely right.
They got drunk in some spirit, didn't they?
That's true, they were. So it makes a point here of saying that they've made their feet fast in the stocks. You know, and brother, we've been talking about, you know, the things that those early Christians endured in our Revelation studies. Brother Renner has got a couple of really good books on the seven churches of Asia. And he goes into great detail about what all that was like, and he's got some about this and that in there. And, you know, when you have to understand that when it says they put their feet fast in the stocks, there were rats in those jails, in those dungeons. And while your feet were fast in the stocks, the rats would come and eat off your toes.
And water too. Water too.
Yeah. Well, we don't.
Moisture.
You hope there is water, because then you don't have the rats eating off your feet. Okay. So you don't want the rats eating your feet off. So when it says that, they made their feet fast in the stalks. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to think about that. May have been happening. Mm-hmm. So when at midnight, when Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God, they were not in a happy place.
No, they were rejoicing nonetheless.
They were not in a happy place at all. This was This was serious business.
Yeah.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Why would he do that?
They're going to
kill him anyway.
He wouldn't take his own life instead of them doing it.
That's true.
Exactly
right. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas.
That's perfect love right there. See?
And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now this is a beautiful scripture. Right? This is a beautiful verse of scripture.
Yes.
What must I do to be saved?
Mm.
Now you know I want to bring up the opposite of this, because when there are three things, and right now there's only three things I really won't teach on: the Trinity. Not going to get into a discussion on the Trinity. Not going to do that. Not going to get into a discussion of predestination. Not going to do that. Not going to get into that. And also, I don't teach on eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Because no Christian should ever ask that question. Whenever you're talking about eternal security, it brings up the question: "Sirs, what must I do to be lost?" No Christian should ever ask that question. The question should be, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You don't care what it takes to be lost. You care what it takes to be saved. If you're thinking about what it takes to be lost, you're in bad shape. You are not where you need to be with the Lord by a long shot.
Yeah.
I like what little Jim says when people bring up eternal security with him. He always says, "Well, it is for me, because I'm not going to take any chances. I'm going to stay as close to God as I possibly can." He says, "I'm eternally secure, that's for sure." And so he's not concerned. He's not asking that question: "What must I do to be lost?" But that's what the eternal security question is all about. How much can I get away with? What do I need to do to lose out with God? Well, what kind of a question is that? Nobody should ever ask such a stupid question. No Christian should ask such a stupid question. We don't want to do that. We're concerned about how close can I get?
Yeah.
Yeah, how close can I get to God? How much glory can I receive in my life? How much grace can I receive in my life?
I wonder if they're saying that in hell.
I don't know. And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Praise the Lord. So
whole household.
The whole household got saved.
That's what I believe.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
Wow.
For a whore.
Yes.
Wow. You know, that man saw something in Paul then that he had never seen before. He said,
"Absolutely.
I want what you have."
That's right, he did.
And we've got to make the body of Christ, the church, have got to make an impact on the world. Like
that's
that.
Right. Now here,
they can ask
that's
us,
true.
"Hey, what must we? What? Hey, y'all got something we want?"
That's right, Sister Mary.
Exactly correct.
Now here's the thing. Here's the thing we need to get out of this. First of all, it says that before there was an earthquake, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and everybody heard them.
Yeah.
Heard them singing praises unto God, and then there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
Now, just because there's an earthquake doesn't necessarily mean that this is God acting on their behalf. So they had to sing praises unto God, and so that everybody could hear them, in order to set the stage for the miracle.
Amen. Well, that's good, brother.
They needed to set the stage for a miracle.
Yeah.
Because it's not enough just to have an earthquake. I mean, earthquakes happen. But earthquakes, when you sing praises unto God, which produces an earthquake,
Jesus.
Now you got a testimony.
Exactly. It's like when they prayed.
Somebody's going to listen.
It's like when they prayed and fasted in Acts chapter 4, and the earth shook from them praying and fasting right there, and then they were refilled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes. So the Philippian jailer knew very well the sequence of events. And he knew that these were great men of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so that's why he asked them in the first place, What do I do to be saved? Because he knew they knew. Okay.
You know, Brother Hoyt,
amen.
You know, one time I taught on that, and God revealed to me what most people don't see is that not only the jailer, something happened to him, but something happened to the men. Those were hardcore men that was in there.
Yeah.
Those were but every cell was open.
All of them were open.
And any of them, can anybody know, even a dumb man know, you walk out of jail when the cells are open.
Yeah,
you know.
They're going to escape.
But every one of them stayed there because it was a change in their lives.
Yes, ma'am. That's powerful.
Not only the jailer. See, the reason the writer put that in there, he wants you to know, you had to read between the lines, it was a change in the man's life.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
That's good.
They got changed too.
Yeah.
Brother Monty, you mentioned something. I think, you know, it bears repeating. When you see someone, as this man saw Paul.
Yeah.
He's got something I don't have.
Yes.
He's got something I'd like to have.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's where a lot of church people stop.
Yes.
They don't go on the next step, like you were saying. They don't go to that person and say, how can I get what you got? they will say, that person is different from me. He's got what I would like to have. Boy, but he's too different from me. I could never be like that. And that's where they stop. That's the lie of Satan.
And they spoke it over self.
And what they need to do is they need to say, I'm going to come spend time with you. I'm going to stay with you a while because you got something I want
to
get.
Well, that's supposed to be the way it works.
I'm going to spend some time.
That is the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work.
And that's
that's a good point, and I didn't want you just to leave that because you made a good point.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought that out because that is exactly right. If you know, and this is just blown my mind. This blows my mind. It continues to happen. And Pastor talks about this, that, you know, folks come to our services sometimes and they get healed, and they see healings, and they see great things happen, and then they just go away like nothing ever happened, and they go back to their old dead dry church, and where nobody preaches anything. And nobody, you know, and they just go on back like they didn't see anything. Everybody needs to be like this Philippian jailer.
Yeah.
And when they see something, open your eyes.
Amen.
Think, you know, what's going on here?
Amen.
What do I do?
That jailer saw a lot today. He saw his life being spared. That was a miracle.
And that was a miracle.
He was showing was showing him love. Because they could have taken off. But they were showing that man love by staying.
Yeah.
I believe that's perfect love.
Yeah.
This was a great event that took place here. There's a lot of lesson that we can draw from this. And
we need to be approachable. We in our personal lives, we need to be approachable. You know, like you said, some people won't ask you, you know, how. They may see something, but we need to not be so busy that we can't be approached.
And, Rahul, let's not forget the praise and worship. You know, sometimes we don't get into praise and worship like we really should.
No.
We just take it very casual.
Now, you know, it's amazing that it's amazing. Most of us would be bawling and squalling. Oh, God. Get us out of this horrible miry pit. You know, get us, deliver us, Lord, deliver us. They weren't apparently doing that. They were singing praises unto God. You know, I mean, that's inhuman.
And I see they were telling the people, y'all not gonna get us out of it, it's gonna cost us something. We're not going out without no souls. I think
that's good.
They got into the mold where we're going out here with some souls.
Yeah, that's good.
We're in here, we're in this place, we're not leaving without.
I like that, that's right.
And not only that, but they even said, you know, that they got excited for suffering for Christ.
That's true.
Yeah, got excited about it.
That is true.
Jesus, help us.
So his whole household got saved. Verse 34 says, when he had brought them into his house, and he fed them. Now, this is in the wee hours of the morning now, because it was at midnight that the earthquake took place, so all of this is happening in the wee hours of the morning. So everybody in the house gets up, they get saved, they get baptized, and then they eat breakfast. Praise the Lord. And when it was day, because it ain't daylight yet, when daylight came, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Now somehow or other there was a great change. There was also a change in the magistrates, in the hearts of these jailers. Not just the one that got saved, but apparently there was a change of spirit and attitude in the people that put them in jail in the first place. And said, well, let them go and let them go in peace. But Paul said unto them, you have beaten not so fast.
I'd have gone.
Me too.
I'd have said, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. But that, now we're getting into what Mary said. Uh-huh. They went out of there they were taking some people with them. When Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they thrust us out in secret. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out.
Old Paul used that Roman card a few times.
When you said you would have just ran on out.
I'm gone.
I thank God for deliverance and been gone.
Amen. And go on out.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
The reason why they were so hush-hush about it is because they were in Roman territory. They actually weren't.
It was Roman territory, yes.
And they earned that, and they were afraid they were going to lose it. Is that correct?
Well, they weren't going to get out from under the yoke of Rome. They were. They may have been afraid the Romans would do something bad to them, but they...
I thought they were proud of it. That was my understanding.
Who are you talking about?
Philippi, where they're at.
The Philippian people?
Yes.
They were under the domination of Rome, probably not because they wanted to be, but you know, everybody was afraid of Rome's power and what Rome might do to them. So they all had to, you know, when Paul said, you beat us, we're Romans, and you beat us contrary to Roman law. Okay. So now they realize that they have broken the law. They broke the law in beating Paul because Paul was a Roman. And Paul, somebody played the Roman card more than once.
Yeah, he played it a lot.
He did. He played it more than once. And that's interesting because Paul was a citizen of Rome, and he played that card whenever he had it. Right. We're citizens of the United States, and we need to take our citizenship seriously.
Right.
And not just give up our freedoms and our rights and our privileges without, you know, we need to insist, just like Paul did, insist on our rights. Amen.
Amen.
Paul had a right not to be beaten. And they beat him anyway. And another time later on, we get to a place where they were going to beat him. And Paul said, you better watch out for that because I'm a Roman.
Yep.
And the guy said, what? You're a Roman?
Scared.
That's right. And Paul said, yes, I am. Yep. So you better watch your step. So he did play that card. And we need to insist on our on our rights of citizenship. We absolutely do.
Paul was a trained, I believe that Paul was a trained tactician, you know, where he was trained because the priests and everything, you know, they were trained, you know, for warfare too, not only to worship God and know the law. And I believe that Paul was a very, you know, genius tactician where he could plan things out and stuff and also use different things to his advantage.
Well, that's right. He did. That was, and this was good. He was making a point here, and so we. This is this. There is so much good in this chapter. This is really a good chapter, and you could take a quite an amount of time just teaching on this one particular chapter. There's a lot of lessons to be gleaned out of that. All right, praise the Lord. Glory to God.